Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to need some tissue. I know it. So I've been known to make people laugh and cry about simultaneously. So most of my life, I've covered over the pain. I've had a lot of pain in my life, emotional pain and physical pain, but especially emotional pain. As a child, that type of thing, and especially, but even as an adult, even as a Christian. How many know that we can suffer through pain even as a Christian, right? Even from other Christians. Anybody get a witness on that one? Okay, or even unimagined stuff. Anybody agree to that one? Come on, raise your hands. Yeah, come on. Marty, raise your hand. Hi, thank you. There you go. Raise your feet, Marty. No, so Marty's in the room. Hello. So my teaching is out of Psalm 119, verse 45. And I almost started to quote your scripture, but let me go there. Psalm 119, verse 45. Now, what am I not supposed to do today? I'm not supposed to go to YouTube. There you go. So if I sing, I have to sing it on my own, right? I walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I focused a lot in my thinking and my understanding of freedom, but I didn't focus as much on I have devoted myself to your commandments. But I will say this in my own life, what I've experienced is as a Christian, and it's been 33 years. So I was 24 when I gave my life to Christ, and I was a mess when I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't feel worthy. I probably didn't feel a whole lot. Know what I'm saying? Probably couldn't even feel. I had stuffed things down so much. So I said, I'm probably going to cry some today because the Lord kind of, he downloaded, but then he encouraged me to share, be real with you guys about some things that I struggled with, not just as a non-Christian, but since I've been a Christian. But the one thing that I know that I have hung on to is relationship with the body of Christ and relationship with the Lord. And relationship in his word and in his presence. But I have struggled myself in the area of, I mean, I know I can pray, right? But I've struggled myself in the area of really being able to just sit in his presence and just wait upon him. Come on in, Melissa. Wait upon him. It's like the enemy will come in and there'll be a list and, you know, you got to do all this stuff and, you know. And the thing of it is then you feel guilty about not walking that out. How many can relate to that? Yeah. So I do, as Nancy said, my husband and I actually volunteer at McLaughlin Youth Center, which is Juvenile of Justice here in Anchorage. I've been out there 6.5 years. The Lord tricked me into going in there, but I love it. I do ask the Lord if there's a shift. If, you know, if he wants me to continue in there, because the numbers can fluctuate, and you just kind of have to know that when you walk in there, you're walking into a lot of darkness, you're walking into a lot of other religions, you're walking into where there's a lot of fear. But I'm never afraid when I'm in there. It's incredible. And as old as I am, I hang out with young people. I mean, they can be as young as 12. In there. That should tell you something that we need to pray. But so I want to stay somewhat on topic, but I also want, here's the way I operate. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit as to what I share with you. So I shared that with you about being in McLaughlin because one of my girls shared a poem with me that she wrote, and it's called Proud. And I want to read it to you. I told her, I took my teaching in and gave it to the girls. The Lord downloaded right before I went in, and I made copies, and I took it in. And I'm like, not because I think I'm all that, but because I know that the Lord will speak. And if the Lord speaks, that's what changes people's life. It's not what Kim Gaines says. It's what the Holy Spirit speaks through us, right? So I want to read her. I told her I was going to ask her, I asked her permission if I could share her poem. She said, you would share my poem at the conference? And I'm like, yes, I will. And is that okay? Yes. So she was excited. This is a young girl who gave her life to Christ probably about, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 months ago. And she is on fire. You guys, she is laying hands on the sick and they are recovering. That's what the other girls told me that don't even know Christ, that come into the Bible study. She's like, they're like, oh yeah, just ask her to pray for you. So anyways, so this is cool. We're talking about, these girls are, anyway, God's been moving. The Holy Spirit's been moving in there. This is called Proud. Be who you are, a friend or foes, because good or bad, it all shows. When you're young, choices come fast, like the wind blows. Whether you choose good or bad, only God knows. Never be afraid to let it show. Don't dwell on the opinions of others, just let it go. Let it blow over your head so fast. She's put some other words in here. Sorry, I'm trying to read through. Let it blow over your head so fast, neither you nor they will know. Use your past as a weapon at tow. Your lips are the strings of the bow. Powerful. To shoot the innocent with the knowledge you know. And the one you know, I'm going to add that part because I love that. Maybe they can do better. It won't happen twice in a row. One bad choice, get over it fast. Your guilt will trap you in a flask. It will mute you. Trust me, it will last. And right before your future goes cold, take a minute and be bold. If you don't, you'll wish you took heed to what you were told. What happened to me will happen to you threefold. Let the past be the past, despite its tight hold. Somebody needs to hear that one again. Let the past be the past, despite its tight hold. If you don't move on, people will walk on you a lot. This girl's got some wisdom. You will feel like you're always put on the spot. Be a master of your future. I say, let the Lord be the master of your future. And don't be an actor in a plot. Listen to what I say, or you'll regret it. Insanity will get a hold of you. You can't be mad because you let it. Wow. Don't put yourself in jail and give up your voice. Don't put yourself in jail, did you hear that? And give up your voice. Don't hate yourself like I did, or like I did. Forgive yourself. It's a choice. You will recover faster than I, and we'll rejoice. If your past is still trying to fog your mind, look to my words and you will find your past and your future do not bind. Whoa, that is powerful. I'm done. Because what she's really talking about is freedom. She's talking about, she's learned to be bold. Somebody was talking in there about how they were liking some of the, they had a tattoo. I'll just say it, because I don't know that she'll ever listen to my teaching, but even if she does, I don't care. And she said, the gal was saying why she got, because I asked her, I said, why'd you get that tattoo? And I named off the kind of tattoo that it was, and she goes, well, and she named off all this and about these different gods and blah, blah, blah. And this girl looked at her and she goes, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. I got my head down because they're staff. And so, you know, I tread somewhat lightly, but I get right up next to the line. I've told you guys that. And so she goes, you do realize that those are false gods, right? And I was like, you go, girl. I'm like, I couldn't have said it better myself. So now I want to go into, I've already been teaching, right? Yeah, okay. So this Bible came from, I started to say North Kenai Chapel, Abbott Loop, which is now Unite Church. I'm confused by that, okay? Unite Church, free on the inside Bible. Lord just happened to allow me to take this Bible into the church, into McLaughlin. I want to read what it says. I didn't even read what it said on the back, but I thought it was so cool. And then when I was in there this last Monday, the Lord reminded me, oh, remember what it says on the back? Remember, Kim, what it says on the back. So I want to read this to you. So remember my teaching is on, what is it? Psalm 119, verse 45. Enjoy liberty. Yeah, freedom. Freedom and liberty. They're synonymous. And that, for I have learned to keep your commandments, right? Love your commandments. Now, so listen to this. Freedom from the bars of prison can get you outside, but it can't change you inside. You know what it is to be bound by bars, but many people, even on the outside, are held prisoner to life without hope. Excuse me. Yeah, I read that right. Perhaps you know what it is to be captive to despair. This book, the Bible, offers you a better hope than getting out, the chance to draw near to God and be given a new life through Him. Open this book and you will find there's only one way to be free on the inside. Is that powerful? And I'm like, yes! So I'm like, well, that will, oh, there you go. There's my teaching. I don't want to lose this. So, liberty or freedom. So I'm telling you, I just started typing into my phone and I did not stop. I just kept going. So I'm just going to share with you and then stop and give you some information or life testimonies as I go. Liberty or freedom, just as one act of obedience by Jesus himself set us at liberty, those who were captive to sin. Obedience sets us at liberty one choice at a time. What does that mean? That means we can be walking in freedom and liberty in our life because we're set free by Jesus. He said he came to set the captives free, right? And he came to bind up the brokenhearted and to set us free. He's also called us to do that, by the way, as well, because he's given us that mandate. I was a baby Christian when I read that in the Word. And I was like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, I had a pastor say, no, that was Jesus. Well, I beg to differ. I did not say I beg to differ, but I went home and I knew that that was my call, was to set the captives free. He didn't know. I mean, you know, it was Jesus, right? It was a prophecy about the Lord. But it's also what we're called to do, which is to set the captives free. Freedom, though, as we hear this many times with the military, freedom is never free. It always costs. There's a cost involved in freedom. Someone has to be obedient to the call. You hear me? Somebody has to be obedient to what the Lord calls them to, or if they're in the military or whatever. Because it always costs. It costs Nancy and Sarah to travel all over the world and to leave their families. When I think about cost, counting the cost, and I know what she said about what the Lord had given her that word about, but I believe there's a huge cost involved in following the Lord. He paid it all for us. Don't get me wrong. But in order to live for Him and follow Him and not just be a fan of His, we have to be obedient. And in order to be obedient in this day and age, there's going to be some things, there's going to be some times when we have to step out in obedience and other people are not going to like it. They're going to tell us to shut up. I've been made to feel to shut up. And I've tried to hide, but I don't do a very good job at hiding. I just don't. So, but I have at times become afraid because I walk in freedom, but because I allowed somebody else's opinion of me, I took back on that slavery, that bondage, rather than walking out the freedom that Christ gave me to be who I am called to be. And I'm telling you, Israel did change me, but I know God was doing something in me before I ever left for Israel. But something happened inside of me when I was in Israel. And to be honest with you, when I got home, I hit the ground running. I have not stopped hardly since I got back. It's been tiring, but it's been enjoyable. Does that sound crazy? Like it's been like, I'm so glad that I have these things that the Lord gave me to do. Sarah, thank you so much for staying. Lord bless you. I stole a couple things from different people that spoke, so I hope you're all right with that. You might hear something like Nancy said or Laura said or whatever. I actually took my notes at home and I had John print them out again right before I left because I had added some things in. So somebody take me back to the last sentence when I went over there. Okay. Yes, freedom costs. Yes. So, and freedom is never free. I liked what Nancy said this morning during prayer. She said, because this has to go with all these years of walking with the Lord and believing that God has called me and spoken to me and told me things and being able to step out in that gift, the gift of being a mouthpiece for the Lord, saying things when and as soon as you walk away, you're like, why did I say that? I know I was supposed to say that, but why did I do that? It's because I have a freedom to do it, but then see what happens is if you're not careful and you're not leaning into the Lord and completely understanding that he's got your back, and you begin to question whether or not, was that really God? Should I have said that? Oh my goodness. And you're trying to make up for and trying to, well, part of it is that how do you feel about who you are? It's really tied up in your identity. I know I was going to speak on identity today. So, like I said, I just want to be obedient to the Lord. So I'm going to touch on some different things here. But faith is not believing that he can, that God can, but that he will. You see, if I believe that I'm walking in freedom, if God says to me that he set me free through his word, that I have the freedom to walk the way that he wants me to walk, to say and to be who he's called me to be, I have to believe that he can do that thing inside of me. Not just that he will, but that he can do it. So I stole that from Nancy this morning because I thought that was really good. And then, because what happens is that those things can go, it has to go, faith has to go from our mind, this is also from Nancy, has to go from our mind and then into our heart, right? Faith, that's how we know it's real faith. Isn't just a head knowledge of I'm free. Oh, I'm free because I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Well, I don't see you walking in freedom. I mean, somebody can say, well, you're judging them. Well, I'm not really judging them. I'm looking at you and I'm looking at myself. How free am I really on the inside? We tell our kids that I love to say this to our kids at McLaughlin, especially the boys. It's really fun to say it to them. Because I do a lot of teaching with the boys too, not just John. And we kind of tag team. And I'm like, you know what? You see that razor wire out there? That razor wire means that you cannot get out of here, right? You're bound. You cannot go. You have a parameter. But guess what? You can be free outside that razor wire and not free on the inside. And you know what, you guys? I hate to say this. But as Christians, we walk just like that. In other words, sometimes we're free because Jesus set us free, right? But we don't walk in the freedom. Come on. That's a good word, right? That's a God word. So I'm here to share some areas that I didn't plan on sharing where I've not walked in freedom. or I've been bound, even though I call myself a Christian, which I am. I love the Lord with all my heart. I love him, but I've been afraid of man and what they think about me. So this is the area of freedom that I'm moving into. Because the fear of man, the Bible says, will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in him are kept safe. So I've questioned my value. I've questioned my identity in him until somebody tells me that they love me. And I know a lot of it had to be tied up with my childhood and how I was raised. Abandonment, those kind of, a lot of abandonment issues. And so you take that in. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you don't take all that, sorry, crap into you. I think I say it every time I'm teaching. But it is, it's a lot of crap that we carry around on the inside. And we certainly don't want to let anybody know that. We don't. And I'm shaking my head like that because that's exactly the attitude. It's like, just cover it up. Look good. Say all the right things. Let everybody think you're their best friend. And the Lord says, I just want you to know who you are in me. Because once you know who you are in me, it won't matter what other people think about you and what other people say about you, because people are fickle. Point to Hope has been my family. Unite Church or Abbott Loop has been my church family. North Kenai Chapel was my church family. I love them dearly. I have a huge heritage in the Lord. And I got a lot of freedom by being a part of a body. But I will tell you what, it's those who I trust speak truth into my life, like Ann or Laura or Marty or Jan. I can go through almost everybody in this room, Melissa. My goodness. Almost everybody in this room has spoken something into my life that has turned a light on for me and helped me to walk in freedom on the inside where I was too afraid to. It looked like I was walking in freedom. But I'm here to be transparent and say, even though it looks like it, sometimes it's scarier than all get out to be who God has created you to be. It's scary, especially when you're loud and rowdy like I am. You guys, I do have a quiet side, believe it or not. I just don't show it very often. I do have a quiet side. But God has made me not to be a wallflower. And I've been ashamed of that. Because people that are loud and rowdy get told that they're loud and rowdy. And it just feeds into that self-deprivation. Because you think there's something wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with me. Nothing. Except for I need more of Jesus. And I need more of this with him so that I can walk out that freedom. I need more of his word to set me free. But you know what? If all you have, honestly, you can read the word. I've been reading the word a long time. But if you don't put it into practice, or if you don't have that place where you, something comes on for you, there's like a switch that comes on. I don't even know how to describe it because I've walked in the other for so long. It's like a switch that comes on and goes, you know what? You're okay. I love who you are. Matter of fact, I have a name for you. I have a special name for you. I love you. Kim is my name. Kimberly is actually my name. Kimberly Ann, and my sister would fill it in with not a very nice name at the end. But anyways, because we all teased each other. I was one of three girls, the oldest of three. Can you tell I'm an oldest? Probably, huh? Anyways, my name, I want to go there. Last night, do you remember Nancy asked us what it, or was it last night? Okay, yeah, because sometimes the days run into each other. Nancy asked us what our name means, and I think she asked me first, or right around at the beginning, and I'm like, chieftain, and I'm like, what the heck does that mean? But I do know what it means, and you may find it in other places where you're going, well, that doesn't say that about you. But let me read this to you. When I went to it in my dictionary, this is what it said. A person who rules or guides or inspires others. Now wait till you hear this one. The supreme war chief. I know, I battle the enemy. Enemy works hard against this in me, right? The mind. He works hard for my mind. He works hard for your mind, right? Because he knows if he can lie to you and get you to believe just a little bit, you'll begin to doubt not only yourself, but you'll begin to doubt who God has called you to be. And you will not walk in the freedom, even though you know the word. You may quote the word, you may know the word, but it just becomes words because you haven't actually believed it. That makes sense? I mean, how many of us know lots of scripture? I know quite a bit, but not probably as much as I should. A lot of us back in the 80s, we sang the word, so I learned a lot of the word, right? But we got to have it on the inside, and we got to hang out with people, the people of God, that will pull that out of us and speak truth to us when we're believing a lie, when they hear it come out of your mouth. That, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, no, God would never do that. Or, oh, no, I don't want to pray out loud. Or, and then you hear this roar come out of them. And you go, why? Why are we so insecure in who we believe we are? We should be the most powerful, the most awesome people, the most aggressive for the kingdom people. I'm not talking about putting people, turn or burn. I'm not talking about that. There is a love language that God wants us to know. He wants us to be so secure in who we are and have such freedom to walk in that, that all I have to do is walk up to Alexia and say, whatever the Lord gives me. It may just be a kind word. You have eyes. It's like, oh my goodness, they're beautiful. How many of us have been challenged to say something kind to somebody and we withdraw because we're afraid? Do you know how many times I start to say something and then I'll start to pull back and I'll hear the Holy Spirit say, how is that going to change that person's life? That's freedom, you guys. That's freedom. Then I go ahead and I'm obedient. It's usually in the grocery store or whatever. But I don't get to the grocery store a whole lot. But the thing of it is how many of us are walking in such freedom and boldness that we would be willing to risk someone saying, I have never once heard a woman say when I've told her how beautiful your hair looks today, or I love your dress, or man, you have such a beautiful smile. That is showing the love of God to other people. And that is walking in a level of freedom that not everybody walks in. But that is a level of freedom that God wants us to walk in because it is impartation into the world. It's imparting the love of God without saying, did you know Jesus died for you and you're a sinner and you need to repent or you're going to go to hell? I mean, there's a time when God will use us to do something like that, right? I mean, when then there's a spirit of the Lord on you and you have to say it. But I would say 9 times out of 10 or 99% of the time, it's more about just being obedient and having the freedom inside. And I will tell you what, somebody asked me this recently. I better go back to my notes. Somebody asked me this recently. They said, they were actually working on my feet because I had a flare-up of plantar fasciitis, and it's extremely painful if you've never had it. Praise God, Nancy had us come down. My heel is doing really well today. I'm not jumping up and down like I do sometimes, but I am feeling so much better. But I've had this gal work on me prior to going to Israel because I thought, I don't know how I'm going to make it through Israel with all the walking. I am a walker. I mean, like, major walker. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but she's working on my feet. So now I'm talking about Ann Neville. I'm giving her a little plug here. She's a massage therapist. She says, and she's so nice, but she's always saying things that really irritate me at times because it really makes me think about where I am with the Lord, where I am in his word, where I am in my area, in the area of freedom. She says, she's working on my feet, killing me. She says, what is it, what area in your life are you not crushing the head of the enemy under your feet? She didn't say that mean, but that's how I heard it in my spirit. I'm like, actually, she said that before she started working on my feet, and I'm like, then she left the room, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, yeah. And then she came back and started working on my feet. She didn't say anything. I said, I know what you said. I heard it, okay? But you know what? It challenged me. Because I know that when God speaks to me many times, it's in the natural, like something's going on in the natural, and then boom, here comes the spiritual. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. Man, I got goosebumps. Because I believe that God wanted me to really think about that. Okay, Kim, are you reading my word? Is John reading the word to you every morning? Are you reading the word along with him? And it just becomes a rote thing? Or are you really going to walk in the freedom that God has for you through the word? Do you believe it? Don't say, yeah. Or are you just a fan? I'm a fan of Jesus. But I don't actually, sometimes we just don't know how to walk in that, right? So I began to think about that. This has only been like since I got back from Israel. It was my first time back when she was working on my feet, I believe. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what area? And so, you know, the enemy comes in and goes, oh yeah, she's just trying to make you think that, you know, you're not crushing the head of the enemy, and blah, 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 and he's the enemy, right? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, everybody has areas of their life where they're not walking in a freedom, and they're not crushing the head of the enemy. Every single one of us. There was one time when I was at Abbott Unite Church. This is before the roof caved in, so it's been many, many years ago. But there was somebody that went to the church, and I had had a falling out with them. And I heard very distinctly that the Lord say, I want you to go up and get up and go ask if you can get before the body, the microphone. At that time, they let you at the mic. Certain people. I was one of them. I was very trusted. And so he said, now I want you to repent. You think that doesn't take some freedom and some trusting God? It does. So little bit by little bit by little, I did. I said, oh, man, you think I wanted to do that? Heck no, I didn't want to do that. And so I get in there, and they said, yes, you can have the mic. They didn't know what all I was going to do. And so I got up there, and this is what I heard the Lord say just as I finished repenting. I didn't tell them who. I said, there's a relationship in this room. And there was probably 1,000 people in the room because it's a big church. And I said, I shared, you know, that I have this relationship with them, and it's we had a falling out, and I just want to repent, whatever. Anyways, I got done, and I turned around. It was like I got ready to turn around with the mic, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you have just stepped on the head of the enemy, or the neck of the enemy, whichever. But it doesn't matter. It's the neck, the head. Boom. The neck turns the head. So where are some places, I'm not saying that y'all need to raise your hand and answer this question, but where are some places that you're not walking in freedom so that you can step on the head and crush the enemy's head underfoot? Somebody needs to take a note on that one, because I'm telling you what, you're going to get some freedom. You're going to get some major freedom in this area of your life. And it's going to come through the Word of God. By His Spirit, He's going to speak to you through His Word. He may show you a battle plan out of His Word. In the Old Testament or the New, it doesn't matter. He can show you, He can reveal His truth to you through His Word. I love your commandments. Get into His Word and let God begin to give you a strategy against the schemes of the devil. We get so busy that we don't think we have time. I'm telling you what, you guys. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And you know what? Every single one of you is powerful. The enemy just doesn't want you to know how powerful you are. Every single one of you. If you listen to Laura Kronk's teaching, powerful. She just stepped on the head of the enemy. She crushed it this morning. Melissa, I know Melissa's testimony. She crushes the head of the enemy. I heard your testimony, Tracy LaSalle. You crush the head of the enemy. I remember you when God gave me a go word for you out of obedience, because I walk in certain freedom to give people go words. And you were looking at me like I was a Martian from... I'm not saying your name over the thing, but look how God has changed you. And it's not about Kim Gaines doing the right thing. It's about somebody, oh, let's not even talk about Anne. Oh, my. No, I'm serious. I meant there's power. Power-packed woman right there. Janet, oh my goodness, she opens her mouth to pray and the enemy is crushed. Marty, silent but deadly, and he's not even really silent. He's a girlfriend, aren't you, Marty? Yeah, he's one of my girlfriends. One of the guys that my husband doesn't mind me texting. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, that's Marty. Okay, great. No, he doesn't really have a hard time with any of that. But anyway, I want to tell you something that we get used to, and it's slavery mentality. So this is the vision, this is the word picture that God gave me, because he gives me word pictures, prophetically, that's how he speaks to me many times, or a word, and then I just open my mouth and then he gives me the rest. By the way, so if you only have one word, just trust that the Lord will fill your mouth. If he's given you one word, meditate on it, and then he will give you the rest. This is the vision that the word picture, an elephant tied to a stake. Everybody's heard this. But an elephant tied to a stake will continue to stay put once you take the rope off of him. Why? Because he's used to the bondage. He becomes obedient. Whoa! Somebody needs to hear this one. Maybe it's over this thing. Sometimes we get used to the bondage, and so we don't walk in freedom. Even though we know the word of God. Even though it's kind of like, what did Paul say? What I want to do, I don't do. Yeah, I mean, he had this thing, and he was one of the most amazing men that ever lived, as far as I'm concerned, that came to know the Lord, right? So, the elephant gets used to the bondage. He gets conditioned. That's the word that was on my page. He gets conditioned. So, because he's conditioned, he doesn't walk in the freedom, just like us, you guys. He could run away. He could trample somebody. I mean, elephants can trample people, right? By the way, sorry, this is a side note. I rode a camel in Israel. That was fun. But it was kind of scary, too. I myself, respond a lot like that elephant. We must begin to agree with God's truth about ourselves and our identity and walk it out. As we recognize his truth, that he speaks to us through his word, we begin to shift our thinking, or God begins to shift our thinking to agree with him, the Father who never changes, the one who never changes what he says, the same today, yesterday, and forever. We begin to agree with him rather than agreeing with the enemy or agreeing with the voice that was spoken to us as children. All the negative things that were spoken into us. You'll never amount to anything. You're no good. What's wrong with me? Because my dad ran out. You know, what's wrong with me? Something must be wrong with me. All those voices that from the past, remember the poem? The past and the future don't bind. That was so good. Man, I'm going to tell her you guys enjoyed that. Yeah. Woohoo! She's going to be so blessed. Amen. Okay. So, as we I already said this, but as we recognize his truth that he speaks to us through is where we begin to shift our thinking to agree with him and what he says. We begin to act different, speak different, engage with others differently. Because they no longer dictate how we feel about ourselves. Come on. You want me to say that one again? They no longer dictate how I feel about myself. We see his truth really does set us free. Freedom and liberty truly has a change and effect in our lives, moving us forward more and more into freedom because we begin to understand that we don't earn it. We don't earn it, but that he gives us liberty to enjoy the newfound freedom that we have. We gotta partner with him on that. We have to say, okay, it's our choice to partner with God, to be obedient and to walk in that freedom. And the mindset shift changes everything. Ask the Lord to change your mindset, to change your heart. We have to be intentional about what we think about God and what he says about us. And not think that it's a New Age teaching, because it ain't. It ain't. You hear that? It ain't. And I've already said this, but I think I need to say it again. What he says about us, and not put more weight and value upon what others think and say about us. I knew that he had me go this direction because somebody in the room needed this, or somebody on the, I know I needed it. But it's only then that we become free to be. How many of God has given them that word, just be? Just be. Melissa, just be, Tracy, just be, Karen, Alexa, I mean, I can go all the way over, just be who God's made you to be, right? Joy replaces striving, because this is supposed to be about enjoying liberty, when we're not bound in slavery in our minds or our hearts, even though we're Christians, then we begin to walk in such joy, because we're free. It's not just you're funny and God gave you a good sense of humor. It's that truly you really are set free. And so you can walk in the joy because you know that the Word of God has come alive and changed you from the inside out. So powerful. God's Word and his presence and his power. The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you is the very presence of God. Very presence of God living inside of me. It's powerful. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's going to quicken your mortal body. We need to walk in freedom, and the Holy Spirit is the one that can set us free. Because he convicts us from sin, but he also sets us free from the bondage that has held us captive to the lies of the enemy and to the lies that we've told ourselves. I keep asking my students, I know, I'm guilty. I am half coach, half voice teacher, piano teacher, counselor, whatever, whoever God brings across my path. But I ask them, where in your life, because they'll come in and they're like, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. And I go, where have you believed a lie? Where have you agreed with the enemy in your life? Now, this is believers, but even unbelievers, where have you believed a lie about yourself? They can even relate to that. Where have we believed a lie? Because if we believed a lie about anything that God says is good about us, then we have just walked in bondage rather than in freedom. You can know the word. You can quote the word. You can win all the Awana awards you want, but not really be changed on the inside if you don't do something with that thing, with the truth. It's because it's God's word. And here's something that I believe I've really struggled with. Man, the enemy can keep us continually questioning ourselves about things like, I wonder if God's mad at me because I just did this or I said this, instead of asking him to help me right then, right? So we go on and we get these little tangents going on, well, God must be mad at me. So then we think if we beat ourselves up enough, now we're back into his good grace. How sad that is. But instead of asking him to help you make it right with yourself or with another person and how to go about it, because pride must have its own way. Then you're once again bound up. And we all know when we're bound, and I have to tell you, it's so funny, I was thinking about something that you should. When we're bound, it doesn't feel good. We need to get our coffee or our whatever. I'm thinking of freedom, right? I do not feel good when I'm bound because my pants are way too tight. I'm like, I need to be set free. Okay? So that was free. It is by faith, rather than believing by faith, that the Father loves us and sent his Son to die for us and then sent his power, the advocate, the comforter, the attorney, the one that comes alongside of it, the side of us, the paraclete, the one who is the very presence of God that lives inside of you, the very power of God, the dunamis power of God lives inside of each one of us. You see the difference? The mindset has to change before it's like, okay, heart, before I can get it down to the heart, I have to go, I can't agree with the enemy anymore. I have to be who God has called me to be. I have to know. I have to walk in freedom. The Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and to empower us to walk out our salvation and to enjoy the liberty that he's given us to make right choices the next time. Instead of just beating yourself up, well, I always do this. How many times have we said that? I always do this. We all know inside our knower that Jesus never gives up on us. But there's, but for some people, we think, nah, he holds a grudge because he's like my own father. Or my own mother. A lie straight from the pit of hell that we, for whatever reason, we've agreed with. So now we're bound again. Then the enemy uses it against us to whip us into shape. So we begin to pick up the whip, scourge ourselves instead of agreeing with his word, God's word, because we lack understanding or we spend very little time getting to know him through his word. Because you know what? Now we don't feel worthy. This is all this. The enemy is so, I mean, transparent. But the Holy Spirit is like, let me show you something fun and adventurous and crazy and awesome and the love of God. And I'm going to, and the enemy's like, oh, no, he probably won't really show you that because you talked mean to your boss. Or you yelled at your child. Or you yelled at your husband. Whatever. I mean, fill in the blank. You guys get what I'm saying. So we have to ask God, which I got this from Nancy too, ask God to establish us in his word. Establish us in his word. His word teaches us, instructs us, and keeps us from believing a lie about Jesus and his eternal commitment. He has such a commitment that he went all the way to the cross for that commitment. You guys, we walked the Via Dolorosa. So I know. I knows that he did that for me. It just made it more, it was like, I know that my Savior lives and that he lives in me and that he died for me personally and he likes me. He doesn't just love me, but he likes who he made me to be. Curly hair, wild and crazy, party girl who loves Jesus. On my tombstone, all I want to have written is she was wrung out for Jesus. Use me until I die. I don't know where I'm at. Okay. God inhabits the praises of his people. Doesn't he? Yes. Do you know that worship sets us free on the inside? I'm talking about living a godly life sets us free on the inside. Because it's not just about the pretty songs that we sing. It's about our hearts living, knowing that even when we mess up, that Jesus still loves us. Believing that. Because I think that Christians probably are bound more in that area than any other area. Because we fail. We're not perfect. I know he says about being perfect and be pure and blameless and holy and yada, yada. I mean, it's all this stuff. We think we have to obey all the rules. So if we get it just right, okay, I got it just right today. Well, I guarantee tomorrow you're going to mess up. Because if you're anything like me, it's true. You'll never have to say, God, I used to serve you, but knowing that through his word, when you read his word and you spend time in his presence, and you spend time with other people that love him, you will know. Do not ever pull away and just stay by yourself for any long period of time, because that's where the enemy wants you. He is a wolf. He will attack, separate, and divide. So stay in fellowship, even if you don't like them. Stay in situations sometimes, even if you don't like it, because God has a plan and he will help you. And that's not to say if you're being abused that you stay in an abusive situation. I never believe in that. But you'll know the one that loves you in all that you are. Do you hear me? All that you are. Not just the good parts. Because Jesus did not just die for good people. If that were the case, he would have never said to the Pharisees, hello, oh, well, you know, it's the sick who need a doctor. I saw religion when I was in Israel. I saw it. I saw quite a bit of religion. And man, I got home and I'm like, I do not. It made me want to puke. But you know what made me excited? Was to know that I don't have to walk in religion. Freedom is not religion. It's not. It's actually slavery. But freedom is relationship. This relationship with him. And how can you know him? I will tell you this. The more you know him, the more you love him. The more you know, really know him and how he thinks about you. And that he's not mad at you. And I've heard this many times. But that he's mad about you. He's crazy about you. And he never turns away from you. Even when you're in your pity party or whatever Laura was sharing about. You know, even being mad at God. You know, she learned that she could raise her voice at God. It's okay. Okay, well, I was trying to be nice. I didn't want to have it on my teaching that you yelled at God, Laura Kronk. But that lives in Ketchikan. That just taught it this. No. Yes. You want to know what? Because I'm such a hider. I'm such a hider. I don't usually do things out loud like that to the Lord. I go inside myself. I think there's a few of those in this room that I know I was supposed to share with you guys, because that's where the transparency. See, God would rather me yell at him, be angry about why I had to wait for this or why I had to, what's wrong with me? You know, all those questions. Instead, I just internalize them. And you know what that causes? It causes anger, frustration, and bitterness. I'm just being real. But I want to walk in freedom in every area of my life. I will tell you something. The Lord did give me a word before. It was actually on the 12th of March, which is my son's birthday. He said, oh, you'll love this. You'll really love it when God gives you a word like this. I'm getting ready to shift, to do a major shift in every area of your life. Couldn't you just say like something like, you know, in a few little areas, because you really need, and you know what? How do we think about that? See, you guys got all upset with me too, right? Yeah, Lisa's over there going, ooh, right? But you know what? What if I look at it like this? We're going to have an adventure. Don't ask me where that came from. But what if I look at it like that instead of the way I've always looked at things, where God is mad at me, I guess he's going to change, he's going to just change everything. Oh, well, whatever. You see what I'm saying? I guess I need to give me my whip. Whip, 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 whip myself back into shape. Whip it. And whip it good, right? Y'all know what I mean. Da-da-da-da-da. Devo. Hey, you guys are laughing, but I know you know what I'm talking about, because I know many of you in this room, and I know you've done it. I know we've all done it, because we think that we can be the sacrifice. And yet, he's the one that sacrificed everything for us. Nancy said it. Lord spanked her on that one, right? Man, I was thinking, oh, I'm glad he did it to her, because I got to learn through her, right? I got to learn through Nancy. That was a blessing, right? But how many of us, just think about that. How many of us need to be free in some area of life? Go ahead, raise your hands. Come on, everybody, some area. How many of you know that God just loves you? He loves you just like you are. But he loves you so much, and I know you've heard this a million times, but I'm going to use it. But he loves you enough to not allow you to continue to harm yourself. See, I'm saying it a little bit different than the way you've heard it. Not harm yourself. This is fresh. Not harm yourself with the thinking that you've been walking in. Kim, you are no longer going to tell yourself that you're stupid, because I am not stupid. You're no longer going to tell yourself that you're not enough, because he was enough. And he likes me. And if they don't like me, I'll go to Point of Hope, because I know they like me. No, I'm teasing about that, sort of. But you know what I'm saying? I want to please him. And when I please him, there's a freedom. It's like being set free on the inside to be who God has created me to be, the identity that God has given me to walk in. I don't have to be Janet. I don't have to be jealous, because I struggled with that a lot. Jealousy, I'm not as pretty as them. I don't have the same kind of hair as, and nobody has hair like me. But yeah, you know, I'm not as pretty as them. I'm not as smart as them. Sheesh, Lord, why are they coming to me? I mean, what do I have? I have the Spirit of God, the power of God living inside of me. I love Jesus, and that's all it takes. Get out of the way and watch the Holy Spirit move. Just get out of the way and walk in his freedom. Get out of the way. You know, it sounds easy. It's not. It takes an intentional step towards it every day. And sometimes with us that are overthinkers, how many analytical minds do I have in here? I think every person in here is an analytical mind. Besides a feeler, there's feelers in here too, but there's a lot of analytical minds in here. Isn't that interesting how the Lord would put us all together? I love it. Because we all kind of have this way of thinking and compartmentalizing and doing this gymnastics. If we will recognize when the enemy is lying to us, or when we're lying to ourselves, we got to begin to become very aware of the presence of the Lord and what he's saying to us, because that's where our freedom's going to come. The battle is going to be ramped up. I am telling you what, this I'm not just saying because you came and heard this word, but I know that God gave me this word. Walk in it. Walk in freedom. Know who you are in Christ. And pray for me. Because I know, Nancy said, oh, she's this or blah, 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 you know, all these nice things about me. But I'm telling you what, it's a struggle to be me. Is it a struggle to be you? Because I know you guys are all wonderful people. I know enough about each one of you to know that you're wonderful people. And Freddie, I know enough about you. I hardly know you. I just met you. But I know that you're a wonderful person. Yes, you are. God says you are. Yes. We need to be more liberal with the things that we say, the kindnesses that we bring forth. Anybody relate to that one? And quit digging people with little jests here and there when you really are meaning something not very nice. Because that means that you're not walking in freedom. It generally means you're trying to get your point across. Sorry, this is free. It just came. It's true. You want to walk in a freedom where you're not just being somebody that is getting a little jab in and using humor or whatever. And I'm talking about wives, mothers, children, whoever's in this room, however we do it, because we all have our way of doing it, right? That's not walking in freedom. And that's not walking in the love of God. And that's not walking in his commandments to love. And man, they're not coming in, so I'm just going to keep going. But anyway, okay. Yes, you may.
When the enemy comes, the thing that helps me the most is stop, drop, and roll.
Oh, that's good. Very good. And what does she mean by that? Stop, drop, and roll it off to him. Very good. We want to walk together. Thank you for sharing that. We want to walk together in freedom. We're no longer subject to our own yoke of slavery. You get that? Our own yoke of slavery. That was from the Lord. I enjoy the liberty. You can enjoy the liberty. And that you have to, let's see. I enjoy the liberty that I have to recommit myself. See, it's a recommitting. Sometimes it's more than one time a day. It's recommitting. I'm not going to, I recognize I was thinking this way. That is a lie. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to believe that. That's not what God says in his word. But you know what? You cannot battle the enemy on your own. You got to be in the word. And every morning when I get up, I started this some time ago because Nancy had talked about it, getting up on the side of my bed and begin to put on the full armor of God. So I do that every single morning. That's how I connect with the Lord first thing in the morning. Then the other thing I do, I begin to speak the seven spirits of God over my life. The spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. And I figured it out because I kept forgetting one. So I go, woo, come, knife, KF. Woo, come, knife. So it's wisdom, understanding. And I think about what that is. Even before my coffee, that's pretty amazing. Wisdom, understanding, counsel. Might. I literally have begun to see that I'm walking out the counsel of God. I'm walking out. But you know what? It's not when I'm not walking in that freedom to know who I am in Christ. I have way less. God gives me lots of opportunities to be a light for him. But I have way less confidence in him when I'm going, I don't know who I am. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't. And then, you know, it's like it's this pulling back instead of being the lion that he's made me to be. By the way, this is, I think, one of the last things I'm going to share. The Lord spoke to me about while I was in Israel. He said to me, and I haven't done a lot of studying it out, but he told me, I'm going to say I believe this was from the Lord, okay? You guys can believe it or not, but I felt like the Lord told me when I was in Israel that I am from the line. I am from the line of the tribe of Benjamin. And I was like, whoa, okay. I haven't been able to really study that out a whole lot. I thought, why am I not from the line of the tribe of Judah? Or Asher or something, you know, the praise or what. You know what? There's something powerful about it because when I got home, my connection with the man that began Abbot Loop Community Church, which is now Unite Church, his last name is Benjamin. So I don't know what all that has to do with freedom, but I tell you what, there's going to be a freedom that God is going to bring to me because I'm coming into my identity. Did you guys get that? Okay, I'm coming into my identity of who I am and not worrying about what other people think anymore. There's no longer wearing the mask. I took a mask to teach one time down in, I remember the Lord gave me some masks to take with me. So it's being the real me. How are you going to step on the head of the enemy? Crush. How are you going to crush him? How are you guys going to crush him? How are you going to crush his head? How How are you going to crush his head? You. How are you going to crush his head? How are you going to crush his head? How are you? Kim, how are you going to crush the head of the enemy? How are you going to walk in the freedom that God has for you? I am going to do it with all diligence, because if I'm not intentional about it, I might as well go home now. And the next time I see you, I'm going to ask you. What do you think I'm going to ask you? How are you? Yeah, are you crushing the head of the enemy? Or are you believing the lie? You're going to crush him. Amen. Every time I obey the Lord, I make a crushing blow to the enemy. Every time. He's under my feet. Every time. I'm crushing him. Do you see that? It's a prophetic act. It's a prophetic act. I needed to crush his head today, because he's a liar and the father of lies. But I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so do you. Don't forget who you are in him. Don't forget.